Have a... It's nice to be meeting after a long time. And we are also getting close to our feast, Pentecost. Nice time for preparation for the Holy Spirit. Let's close our eyes and be before the Lord. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. Sweet loving Father, Jesus, our sweet Lord, Holy Spirit, in your holy presence, Lord, before your holy presence we stand, acknowledging your mighty presence here in our midst, Lord, where two or three are gathered in my name, in their midst I am, as you says. And so you are here, Lord, in this very place, in this very moment, to reveal yourself more and more to us, Lord, the children whom you love, Lord. As we take your most precious blood, sweet Jesus, and sprinkle it upon this place, Lord, claiming, O Lord, protection against all the principalities of this world, Lord. Surround this place with your guardian angels, Lord God, so that nothing untoward will be here, O God. And prepare ourselves, O Lord God, with a clean heart, clean mind, to receive you, Lord. And sweet Holy Spirit, come, this is your place, this is your time. You are our teacher, Lord. We are your pupils, your students, Lord, waiting to hear from you. Open our hearts, open our minds, Lord, and speak to us at our own levels of understanding, Lord. Only you can make this scripture, Lord, alive to us. Only you can explain your story to us, Lord, in a way that only you can explain, Lord. Amen. And we trust ourselves, Lord, totally and completely into your hands, Lord. Do unto us according to thy will, O God. Help us not to only to be hearers of the word, Lord, but help us to be doers of the word, Lord. Yes. And to experience, Lord God, what your word does in our day-to-day life, Lord God. Mama Mary, without you, nothing is complete. Be with us, guide us, bless us, protect us, and keep us under your mantle of blue, now and always. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Yeah,
dear. Good afternoon. Enjoy your tea.
Yes.
Yeah. Anyone remembers which letter we are on? What is the sister? Pergamum, the letter of Pergamum. When the breaks are too long, we tend to forget, right? So, the breaks were unprecedented, actually. So, we are on Revelation chapter 2, verse 12 onwards. Somebody can read it. The message to Pergamum. Come on, you get a prize when you, the first one reads it.
And to the angel of the church in Pergamum, write,
These are the words of him who has the sharp two-edged sword. I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. Yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me. Even in the days of Antipas, my witness, my faithful one, who was killed among you, where Satan lives. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who hold to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food, sacrifice to idols, and practice fornication. So you also have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Repent then. If not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit is saying to the churches. To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And on the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it.
The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
So we come to the letter, the third letter to the churches. The first one was written to? Homework. The second to? Smyrna. The third to?
Pergamum.
And the fourth will be written to? The Gala Church.
Yathira.
Right. So we have come to the third church in Pergamum. The last time we met, we described all the geographical situation of Pergamum, and as well as its cultural activities, which we'll not go back again into. Pergamum was not as famous as Ephesus and Smyrna, but it was the capital. It was the capital of that place at that time. For many, many years ago, for many, many years at stretch. Because it was a capital, the Romans were there. Okay, they were there. The capital was always run by the rulers. Okay, and they were the Romans. And we already saw two deities there. Forget it. They were already worshipping two. Not Balak. They had another deity. Two of them, find them somewhere. And the third thing was that Caesar worship, wherever the capital was, the Caesar worship was at its zenith. Caesar worship means you got to ignore your gods, you know, and worship Caesar. Okay, that is Caesar worship, which the Romans, every emperor insisted. And that is why the cause of persecution was highest in this place. And that is why it is called, Satan's throne. Satan's throne, it is called Satan's throne because of Caesar worship there, right? And Jesus tells them that I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. That is the reason why it is called Satan's throne. Because everything, I mean, first of all, they had these two goddesses, god and goddesses to give their tithes to, their worship to. Then they have Caesar's worship. And Christianity was nowhere existence, you know. So you either had to be pagan or die. Simple as that. And in spite of that, you know, people were still living there. That's why Jesus commends them. Some probably must have ran away. Some must have converted themselves. You know, not everybody is powerful in the eyes of the Lord. Yeah. So everyone must have made their own choices. But there were many who stayed there, who bore the persecutions, right, and who are brave enough to continue with their worship to Jesus. We should all remember that these are mainly pagan people who were pagans first, right? They have tasted something so good from the Lord, from Jesus, that they were willing to die rather than go back to paganism. Okay, so that is why Jesus commends them for their you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me, even in the days of my witness, my faithful one who was killed among you, where Satan lives. Second time he says that, and the name is Antipas. Now there is not much written about Antipas in the history of the church or in the history books. Yeah, but only there's a legend saying that one person called Antipas was killed for his faith, and Jesus probably living making note of the same person, and he was killed in a such a way that they had a brass bull made, and they heated that they put Antipas into the stomach of the brass bull and heated him to death. Yeah, and he died bearing Jesus' name. That is why Jesus says, "No, I know where you are living, where Satan's throne is. Yet you are holding fast to my name, and you did not deny your faith in me." And at that time, they were called martyrs. They were called Mark. What is it? They said he called Martus. No, Martus. No, but Jesus has got a word for them. He was called. In some translations they give it. Anyway, we'll get it. Okay. In other words, he was a witness. He was a witness to Jesus, and as a result of being a witness to Jesus, he had to be killed as a martyr. Okay, and whoever dies as a martyr, my faithful one was killed among you. My faithful one was killed among you. Yeah, my faithful one. Jesus calls everyone who dies for him is my faithful one. That is the title he gives to this to the martyrs and to those who profess his word. Having said that, now how many of you would like to be called that? Why are you laughing? To be called that, what should you do? To be called my faithful one, what should we do? Die for Jesus. And nobody wants to die for Jesus, so far, no? Grace said, I might think about it. It's not easy. That is the complexity of it, you know. It's not easy, but they were willing at that time. They were non-educated people. They were pagans. They did not know. Their whole life was in paganism, and paganism is worshipping so many gods. Paganism is doing. You are at liberty to do what you want. Yeah, it's like an animal life, you know. Fornication, eating of things given to idols. That's all the part of life. And having lived all this, that part of life, they found Jesus. So you just imagine what a strong personality Jesus must have been for them to say, like, okay, fine. You know, how many of, no, I'm not talking about us here, but so many people today are living as pagans, although we are Christians. So many of us. Yeah, and so and Paul says all of us did in the past. But we have come out of our paganism and have now embraced Jesus. But many a times we go back into that. Into the scenario, they come back again. It's a to and fro process for many of us, but for them it was not. They said, okay, we will rather die than go back to being pagan. And when you die for Jesus, Jesus actually gives you his own title. Yeah, I'm my faithful one. Yeah, what else do you need? And you know, but then what is eternity for this person? Yeah, he has suffered, he has done the right choice in a short world, but we are hesitant to do that choice. Believe me, I mean, it's not a big mystery for us. We are each one of us, you, me, inclusive. It's a very difficult decision for us to make to be a child of God, to be a martyr for Jesus. Although we know that eventually we have to go there. This is the only ticket to heaven where you know that there will be no condemnation for you. Straight bus passage. But there are still people today in today's world, although we say that, who are living in those areas, you know, Syria and all that stuff, who are missionaries there, they are the ones who are ready to go. Father Tom was one who was released from that place, you know, but the other nuns and all, they went for that, for their faith of God. Okay, then, you know, Jesus cannot be taken lightly. One thing I have realized in my, you know, in my study with him and my walk of life with him, and I have done all the tricks possible that, you know, he might sort of miss it, but he doesn't miss anything. You either be for him or you be against him. He doesn't like lukewarm people. And most of all, I'm the first one to be on two boats, you know. But with great discipline, he has brought me out. He's bringing me out still, okay. He will never, like today's proclamation which Father gave that our children today, you know. Most of us, we are saying, oh, they're children, you know, they're modern world and this and that. But he was point blunt. He said, you got to discipline yourselves at this very age or else there is no future for you. You want a good future, you got to embrace Jesus, right? And you got to live with his principles. Learn to discipline yourself. Am I right or wrong?
Yes.
Learn to discipline yourself. He has given a very strong message to our children. We all say like, no. And he told them straightforward. He said, nowadays, we cannot even touch you. We cannot even do you. You all complain to the authorities that, you know, we are being punished. But what is this? Where is the discipline gone? Your parents have got no right over their children. Yeah, we in our days, we still get, I'm still afraid of my mother, although she's so old of me, because she has brought us up in that principles, right? With that, respect and discipline. You spare the rod and you spoil the child, you know, and now, especially in the West, you cannot touch a child, forget anything. A parent cannot touch a child. Where is this written in the Bible? Like that, that's why. And now we say we have lost humanity. Small children are with rifles going around. Why will not they not go? Because you have not brought them up right in the right way, right? And then what are we teaching the kids? Even our kids nowadays are, now they say, oh, modern age, this age and all. Where in the Bible it says, you know, in 2018 you have to be like this, 2019. Is the Bible divided in that way? No. So how can we say? And the world is divided in that way. And you'll get worse and worse. You see how things are going from bad to worse. Where is this thing? And unless and until you and I, who are a part of the old generation and the new generation, pray, our children will not be saved. I'm telling you. The only way we can save our children at this modern age is to be what Jesus told us to be. No other ways. Right? No other ways at all. Now, it's not even our children's fault if you go to see. Because some of the children, they don't know what discipline was in the past. That they are born in a world with mobiles. The first thing they do is come up is they look out for a mobile at the moment. It'll come to that day also, will come out. You know, where everything is being influenced to us by the internet and the mobiles. Yeah, so where is the discipline of the parents coming to children? We got to be very careful. And if anybody preaches or teaches religion today, they said we are old fashioned. They say that we are only poor people learn cling to God. Modern definition, only poor people cling to God. So for some people it is only the wealth, you know? But very soon they understand what it is. You cannot play with the Lord for too long. One fine day he stumps you so badly. He doesn't stump you, the devil stumps you, because during the period when we are not with Christ, we are with whom? The only two people, Christ or the evil one. So if you are not in Christ, you are definitely with the evil one. You cannot be on your own. The devil will not allow you to be on your own. Sure. Okay, so we come back to this. Now what are the promises? So that's what he says now, no? But I have a few things against you. Yeah. That is why we have to go for confession. We commit sins, and sin is not acceptable. Sin is a block that blocks us from Jesus and from God. So whatever you, it's not, and we are not prone to not sinning. We as long as we have life, we will be sinning, but not in a way that we used to do in the past, because Jesus is our strength. But the moment you know that you sin, you have to go for a confession and get yourself cleansed. Okay. So, because Jesus is watching, he knows everything and he watches you. But he is not a judge right now. He will come as a judge on the last day, and that will be too late. So always be ready for him when he comes. But I have a few things against you. You have some there who are holding to the teaching of Balaam, who taught Balak to put a stumbling block before the people of Israel, so that they would eat food sacrificed to idols and practice fornication. So you also have some who hold to the teaching of the Nicolaitans. Yeah. Does Nicolaitans strike a bell to you? Before we have come across this tribe, yeah? Nicolaitans. They are supposed to be the people from that one person called Nicholas, you know, who was a part of the 72 in the Acts of the Apostles. Stephen and another few of them were chosen to look into the affairs of the people who at that time were receiving complaints that some of the widows and orphans were not receiving their quota of whatever, rice and all that stuff, you know, because they were, at that time, everybody was sharing everything. They were selling their entire thing and pooling it together, and everything was being shared by all during the times of the Acts. Now, Peter and the apostles, they had to pray so much that they were not interfering in all these things. So they appointed a council to take care of all these, and Stephen and Nicholas was one of the people who at that time were appointed to look after these affairs of the people. Stephen, we know, he became the first martyr. I mean, how lovely that must have been, no? Exactly the same words Stephen says as Jesus says when he was stoned, no? Do not allow this sin to go against them. And the same words what Jesus said, to forgive them. You know, they don't know what they are doing. That is a martyr spirit. And Nicholas is one of these guys. But apparently Nicholas went into the wrong way. Right? He went into the wrong way. And he had his followers also. Nicholas was not so bad. But then after him, all the people who were after his followers, they twisted like everything else. They twisted things and they began this Nicolaitans. Okay? Now they are a compromised lot. They want to be Christians and they want to be pagans at the same time. Like, yeah. So they said, we are Christians, yeah, but we don't have to be so strict. We got a little bit of this, a little bit of that is okay. You know, that was the principle, and that is exactly what Jesus says is lukewarm people. I will spit you out. Yeah. I mean, and many of the people, not to given a chance. Be honest, like, won't we like that life? I would love it. Yeah, who wants to be so much in Jesus here to give up everything? I would like to have a little bit of Jesus, a little bit of here, there, and there. And I did that for some time, but it doesn't work. Jesus doesn't accept that. Yeah, either be fully 100% for Him or 100% for. You may say, I'm 99% for you, Jesus. I don't know you, Jesus say on the last day. Yeah? Lord, I called you Lord, 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 but where are you? But I said, Jesus, I don't know you. Right? So we have to be very, very careful on how we live ourselves. Yeah? We cannot change overnight. We cannot change without the power of Jesus. But Jesus is always there. And remember that Jesus doesn't tolerate. Jesus doesn't tolerate any nonsense. And so many times, while we commit any sin, knowingly or unknowingly, we just hope that God is blind. He will not see us. But God sees everything. And sometimes we get away with sin so long that we think that, oh, that's an accepted way of life. Until one fine day, we get such a kick and that we understand that, no. God will not tolerate any sin. He likes us, but He doesn't like the sin in us. And whatever it is, He will never tolerate sin. Okay, so we have to be vigilant about this. And Jesus is pointing this to His churches. When He points to His churches, that means pointing to the church of today. Yeah, that He expects the same discipline that He gave for them. And we cannot see where we are a 20th century church and this is not applicable to us. It is very much applicable to us. In fact, more to us now than it did to them. Because they were faithful people more than us. Right, their faiths never wavered, but ours waver on a time-to-time basis, right or wrong. Our faiths waver, so He's not going to tolerate anything like that. Okay, and especially the Nicolaitans, he mentions them that because I don't want people who are in both boats. I want people who are for me and me alone. Okay, repent then, if not, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. Okay. The only way, right from John the Baptist, even Jesus' ministry began with the word repent. Even today, what do we do when we go and confess to our sins? We confess our sins, we repent for them, and we say, no, Lord, we are not going to sin anymore. Repentance is turning back from your way into God's way, right? And that's the only way. That's the condition. If you have sin in your mind, in your heart, unconfessed sin in your heart, and you try to be good, yeah, you'll try in vain. that sin in you will not allow you to turn. It may give you some discipline, but you are not set free. Yeah, you that guilt factor is there. You are trying, but it is stopping. You know, the very fact that you go for confession, it is not only your sins that go out, but the power of Jesus comes into that, and in the absolution you receive in the sacrament of reconciliation. That is a very important. You ask any good priest, it's not just the sign of the cross given to us by a priest. That sign of the cross takes away the demon who was in us. You know, it throws him out, and it gives you a new pure garment. Your soiled garment is taken away, and your pure garment is given out. Okay. Then what happens? You know, we are not deviating from the topic. But then see, now you have got a new garment after confession, right? You have got a new. You're holy. You're pure. Do you know that we all have demons living in us? Is that surprising? We all have demons living in us. That's why we are controlled by a demon who is our weakness. We all have the Holy Spirit living in us as well. Okay? So, without a demon living in you, you cannot do anything. Where does the Bible tell you about the demons living in you? Oh, you know that there is one story told that there was this man who was a bad man, and then he becomes good, and the spirits get out of him. Yes? And then he's clean, and then the spirit comes back for a lookout. And he sees that, oh, everything is clean in there. And then he said, oh, that it's not, now I'm not it's not my capability to go into him. I'll get seven more stronger people. And then he brings seven more people to enter into you. The same thing happens every time you confess your sins. You don't think that he's just gone. Yes, he's absolved. You are absolved. You are free. How you live your life after that is what the same. God gives you a parable for a reason. It is not a parable that just finishes there. That's that demon, whoever is you know your demons best. Yeah, he will go out. He will go out from you in that confession. When you make a good, honest confession, he will go out. Remember that also. And when he comes back, you are going to have a lot of retaliation. Remember every last confession that you made. It is not easy to remain holy. That demon will come back. That demon will come back, and with much more power. But Jesus, absolutely, if you cling to Jesus during those times, that's the only way out, to not to allow. The only name of Jesus can bring your can take the demons away from you, right? And
I don't agree. Okay. They are saying that a demon is in you and a Holy Spirit. No, it is either Holy Spirit or a demon. If your Holy Spirit, if you are unclean, then the demon will be there. God and demon will not be in you in the same place.
So now suppose you are sinning, okay?
Yeah.
So Holy Spirit, when did you receive the Holy Spirit?
In my baptism.
Okay.
Yeah.
Now when you sin, Holy Spirit goes out from you?
Like I don't...
Holy Spirit goes out from you?
You are grieving the Holy Spirit there, yeah.
So grieving is what? He goes out?
He doesn't go out.
He remains dormant.
He
remains dormant.
But okay. You can't say you are possessed by the evil spirit.
I am not saying possession. No. Possession is different. Not everybody is possessed. But now see, how can you do evil when there is no evil in you? When there is no evil spirit in you?
See, this is a temptation by evil one. So when you give in to the evil one, then evil enters in you. I cannot say if I have confessed and I am clean, even the evil one is in me. No, evil one waits for a chance for me to stumble down.
When you sin, is the evil one in you or not in you?
Not in me. When I sin, I am tempted. Then after I sin, he enters in.
That's what I'm saying. After you sin, he enters into you.
So when I'm clean, he is not in.
No, I don't. No. I never said that.
No. No. He is not in.
When you are clean, he's not in.
He is not in.
But he's outside waiting to come in.
Yeah, he's outside waiting to in.
That exactly.
When I give in, only then he enters.
Yeah, that's exactly what I'm trying to tell you. When you confess.
Like what the seven spirits, what are coming, what I understand is, maybe I'm wrong, I do not know. I just want to say what I understand. I am totally clean. I have confessed. I am with me. From being outside, the evil one might tempt me. If I give in, he will bring seven more stronger spirits and he enters in.
That's exactly what I'm telling you. That's exactly what I said. Have I told you wrong? I mean, that's exactly what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
What are you trying to say? I mean, see, when you say...
What I didn't I agree here is, evil one is in you always.
No, not always.
He is not in me.
He is not in you always. How can he be? When you confess, he goes out.
He goes out.
But again, you can bring him in.
Yeah, with my sin, I can bring in.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all
if
we do, no?
If I don't sin, no. If I give in, then only he enters in. Otherwise, he has no place. He waits outside and knocks. Because he wants to come in. But if I give in, then only he comes in.
And
without my permission, either way.
And what is what? Sin? You cannot sin without your permission. You cannot never say the devil made you sin. You have sinned. The devil is tempted, only tempts you. He cannot make you sin.
Yeah.
He cannot. He can make you sin.
No, brother, I heard one father was saying that most of the confession, the same sin committed is only is repeated. That means, you know, the devil is knows that, you know, this person will fall weak.
Yes.
When I come here to him, he will. The temptation is there.
Yeah, I also heard a priest say that. For example, you know, there was a priest who heard a confession, okay? And he said, this lady came to the confession and she said a big list of confessions, and father knew that it was a right from the this thing, yeah. And he said she said that I fell into some sin, she said. I forget the sin now. Then the priest asked her, when did you fall into that sin? And she said, I don't remember. But he said, you confessed just now, no, that you fell into sin. So then he realized that it's the same sin. I did this, I did that, right from the first year of confession, and people are doing that confession not valid. That confession not valid because you are telling sin that is already by heart. Big by heart list is there. Right or wrong? I used to be that once upon a time. But until I realized that we have to confess, you know, there's an act of contrition. No, that is a, what do you call that? Examination of conscience. Examination of conscience, where you have to do sing. Now, for example, we don't even do, I don't know how many of us do it, but you got to examine your conscience with your 10 commandments first. What is the first commandment saying? I am the Lord your God, you shall not have any God before you. How many of us confess that sin, saying that I have not honored my God the way God wants me to do? I have honored other idols. Now, what is an idol? You say, I don't have any idols. If you are addicted to this is an idol. If you are addicted to this is an idol. If you are addicted to anything more than God, it's an idol. And we got to confess that sin on a daily basis. Second, I have not respected my parents. How many of us confess about that on a regular basis? Right? I have not stolen. We will say, okay, I have not taken somebody's money, but I have taken somebody's pen. That's not a sin. Yeah, but the more the Lord you go deeper and deeper in it, you will realize that even a pen and a paper is a sin. Okay, but it's a granted sin for us, so many of us, me inclusive. Okay, then we say, what are the other? You know, we have to go examine ourselves. Yeah, how many times have we say, do not covet your husband, your neighbor's wife, husband, or whatever. How many times we do not do it literally, but we say, I wish I would have had that person. I wish I would have had that type of a car. I wish I would have had that type of money. That's all covetousness. Yeah, you have lust for people, for things. You know, in your offices, you have got that bossy nature. Yeah, you are not supposed to be having that. So all these things are the sins that we got to examine our conscience every time we make a confession. Only then your and my confession is good. And I can remember the last confession I made was one of this type. When guest priest had come, it took me 1 hour to confess and lots of tears to shed. You know, and that confession really brought me out of my, you know, set me free. You know, set me free. It took a long time to even sustain that type of confession. No, that is a call to confession. We are not talking about, you know, there are some people who make confessions every week because they have been told that way. When we were kids, every Saturday we had to go for confession. You know, and we had the same list of confession. Like, in that list, if you forget one, then you are confused. I forgot to tell that sin. You know, so that's the way it is. Unless we realize the enormity of sin, unless we realize, you know, whenever Jesus is there, sister, devil is always there. Has to be there. And that
he
is the agreement. Yeah, agreement
outside.
It is. Now even when Job is being tested, you know, God the Father asked him, where were you? I was prowling around. He's telling God, I was prowling around and I am come here. You know, you see the story. It's not just a story. It has got a lot of meaning. Until God puts the devil into his abyss, which will come here later on. Till then, devil has the right to be around. He goes to tempt Jesus. He goes to tempt Jesus. He didn't leave Jesus. Why is all that? He is there very much here. Now you think we are only here? There are some because we spread the blood of Jesus. There will be angels here. There will be devils also around outside. The moment we go out, they will be there. And we have to only understand this in a spiritual sense. Otherwise, we are looted. we are always looted. Like, you know, you look and you look at it with your normal eyes, you will not see that. But when you look at it into now you are aware that there are demons here. So I will be careful. You are also aware that Jesus is here. You know, so I have to give reverence to Jesus. How many times we realize that Jesus is here and taken good care of him? No. We just take him for granted. Chalo, you know, we don't see you, so you are there. We don't even remember that he's there. The moment you understand that Jesus is in a gathering where two or three are there, we will be very, very careful. And we should be very, very careful. Okay, so that is why Jesus says repent. Yeah. Repentance is a must for anything. Without repentance, we cannot proceed any further. Okay. I repent. If you don't repent, I will come to you soon and make war against them with the sword of my mouth. You know, what he says, I will come to you. He'll come to the church and he will make war against them, not to the, against the church, because he loves his people. He will come there and he will start making war against the Nicolaitans, the Balaks and the Balaams, all those people, you know. He will come as our aid to fight the battles with us against him. Anything, you see, Jesus also has got his anger, especially when it involves his children. Now take an example. Okay, if you are even a very, very devout person, if some small child is being attacked, is being deceived, will you keep quiet? You will, even if you are the most sober person, you will never get angry. But will you allow a small child to be attacked? You know, you will get angry at that time. It's holy anger. It is needed at that time to save that child from being deceived. The same way is Jesus. He is not a person. He's not a person who advocates anger. But he has got the right to anger. To anger when we are the apple of his eye. Remember that. We are the apple of his eye. He knows that we are weak. That's why he comes. And he says, I will make war. I will make war. He takes our lives so seriously, which we never take our lives. He comes to make you make war with those people who are attacking you. He will only come when you invite him to come. Okay? Now he knows that. He knows. He's recommending this thing. He says, I know who you are. I know you are so... even in the Satan's seat, you are listening to me. Say, yeah, honest to me, okay? And he says, I know your weaknesses also. You have tolerated certain people there, which you should not have done. And if it is too much for you, I'm going to come there and I'm going to destroy them with the sword of my mouth. And what is the sword of his mouth? What is the sword of his mouth? The word of God. The word of God. The people of his time rejected him, including his own disciple, who is that? Judas. Now, what was the reason for Judas to actually commit to betray Jesus? Any idea? Why did Judas betray Jesus?
Is it that money? He was a treasurer.
For $30? No. He was a treasurer. Yes.
Yeah,
but what was his motive?
Yeah, his motive was
what was his motive? Why did Jesus didn't do any wrong to him? But what was it? He
wanted to test Jesus that he is the king,
no.
Or something.
He
like
looked
that.
At Jesus
he
in a
wanted
different.
Jesus to fall. Yeah. Maybe the sin.
No.
Sin
no.
And
see, he was a radical. You know, he wanted like Jesus to be in power at any cost.
Yeah, yeah.
Like at any cost, he should be in power.
Yeah.
He did not understand Jesus' ministry. He did not understand what type of king Jesus was. The other apostles did understand after a long time. They also expected Jesus to be with that, you know, Roman thing, and I'll come with a sword and all that stuff. They expected that, all of them. But among them, Judas was the most radical person, and he said, I will see that this guy becomes a king. His motives for the whole thing was not to sell Jesus. What will he get by 30 of this thing? But his motive was like, no, we want to see Jesus be a king right now. And I will do whatever it takes to this thing. That's why he went. He thought maybe if these people hit him a little bit, he'll become furious and then he'll become, yeah, here is my kingdom now. I am the king. That was Judas's way of thinking. He had no other in him. That is why he repented, no? He realized that his plan did not work. His plan did not work. So he said, no, I did it wrong. And then he threw that thing. But instead of repentance, if they had repented, the same sin this guy committed, Peter committed. Yeah, one scenario before, Jesus tells him, you are rock, and upon this rock I will build you up my church. And the next time he tells him, and very soon I'm going to die. He says, you are not going to die. I will die, but you will not die. Yeah. So you see, people, we think sometimes we are too smart. We think sometimes we are too this thing. But and then we do foolish things. Now, Peter repented. One glance of Jesus was there, and that was enough. But Judas did not have a time to have a glance of Jesus. Yeah, he gave it up and he destroyed. Remember one thing, wherever you are, whatever sin you have committed, it's nothing, it's not unpardonable sin from Jesus. He gave his blood for every sin that you have committed. He himself said the only unpardonable sin is what? Which one? Sin against the Holy Spirit. And what is that sin against the Holy Spirit? What is the sin against the Holy Spirit?
No faith. Yeah, well, not having faith. What is that called?
That word.
If you say
not unbelief.
No. If you say that nobody can save me. You know, there is no hope for me. That means you're saying there is no God. Now, why is it Holy Spirit? Why not other God the same? But who lives in us is the Holy Spirit. And if you are point blank telling the Holy Spirit, you have no power to save me. You're telling the Holy Spirit, in other words, in your actions, in your mind, you're saying, I'm gone so bad that you don't have the power to save me. That is the unpardonable sin. Whether the people, and that sin leads to what?
Suicide.
That sin leads to.
For this, there's one word for that. This unpardonable sin.
So remember that. You know, there is never a hopeless case in your life, and the moment you say it's a hopeless case, you're opening yourself to that unpardonable sin. Be very careful on that. Yeah, there is nothing in the world that Jesus cannot mend. There's nothing in the world that the Holy Spirit cannot move. He is the powerhouse which we are not using him for. And that's why he's not dormant, as the doctor said. We are making him dormant. And that is why, as we've discussed in one, we don't call in for a fresh outpouring. We call in for a fresh invoking of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, move. Move in your temple. You are there, you're dormant, but you move now. Make us alive. Right? That's our prayer. The Holy Spirit should be alive. He's there in all of us. Thank God he doesn't leave us. You know? Thank God he doesn't leave us. We do so many sins that anybody, if I was in his place, I said, forget it. He is the most powerful, yet the most meekest of the three, of the third person of the Trinity.
Just to support you, brother, why there are people in this world today that they are afraid of hearing the word of God? Why there is always this against religion, after this religion intolerance? Why? Because they are afraid of our religion.
Yes, yes.
They are afraid, so they are ready to throw stone at our religion because they are afraid, because that is the truth.
Yes. In our country, we are just 2%. Christians, but that 2% is a threat for them.
Yes.
If we had 98% power, why are you afraid of this 2%? But who has been attacked? The 2%. Because they know that a 2% God is the mighty God.
Amen.
And he will destroy their stones anytime.
Yes.
Okay, they know that, but they don't want to agree to that. And that's why all this commotion takes place. Right? So let anyone who has an ear listen to what the Spirit of the is saying to the churches. Okay? To everyone who conquers, I will give some of the hidden manna, and I will give a white stone. And the white stone is written a new name that no one knows except the one who receives it. Once again, Jesus himself is telling us, we have to listen to the Holy Spirit. Listen to what the Holy Spirit tells. The one thing you should always be, you know, we are not cowards. If you are a coward, it's time that we should change. I'm not talking about going out and say, come on, let's fight. No, I'm talking about spiritual cowardice. Right? Are we ready? Are we ready to face God? You know, we have to be more than overcomers. Overcomers. We have to fight the battle. Right? Not say, okay, Baba, I'm from now onwards, I'm going to be good. I'll see no evil, I'll hear no evil, I'll listen and be like a statue there. No, that is not what God wants you. God wants you to do, okay, you know me, now go out into the world. You know me, now go out into the world. Go fight these battles. Which I want you to fight. You should be a fighter. You should be an overcomer. We are not a church sitting children. We have to go to the church for our strength and then go out into the world to do that. We are only going to the church and stopping at there, and then we go to home. Where is our journey to the world? And Jesus says very clearly in Matthew, right? Like, go out to the world and preach the good news.
Amen.
Preach the good news first to our own very own families. First in Jerusalem, Judea, and then the rest of the world. So we sometimes go to the rest of the world and then forget our own families here. We forget Jerusalem. We start where we are, in our homes, in our places of work, in our parish, and then we go out to the countries that we come as God leads you. If you have got no desire to preach the word, you are lost. You are an invalid Christian for God. God cannot use you. And if God cannot use you, might as well be gone. Yeah? God should be able to use each one of us. Every day our cry to the Lord is, Lord, here I am. Use me. Here I am, use me. Jesus is today asking, is there anyone that I can send? Is there anyone I can send? I've got so many Christians, but where are they? Yeah, is there anyone I can send? And he said, no, Lord, try him. No, Lord, next I will go. You take her first. That is our response. Lord, you go in front, huh? Then next is mine, sure. So that is the way we operate even today, whether we know it or not. Yeah, but God said, here I am. Look at when Saul's army was there, the Philistine was there, showing a lot of this thing on them, showering insults upon them, and Saul and his army were there. Then who comes? A small shepherd boy, David. I will fight. I will fight. Yeah. How many of us? We should always remember this. And such scenarios need not come only on a battlefield. It comes in everyone's life. At that time, are we going to be Saul's or are we going to be David's? And most of the time, we take Saul's decision. Let's wait, the Lord will come. David said, no waiting. My God is coming with me. I am taking my God. If you wait, you will die there only. You know. And see, the Lord never forsakes you. Amen. That stone of David did not kill Goliath. You know that? The stone of David did not kill Goliath. Goliath was killed by a force of God, a hand of God. Yeah. How did go? How go? The stone was just the
fall down.
How he fell down? Which side he fell down?
Front.
He fell down from the front. If the stone had an effect, he would have fallen down behind. The stone was just an excuse for God to give him a nice sit down and put him down. You see. We don't fight the battles. God fight the battles. You are just to throw that stone. You have to be that instrument of God. Sometimes we say, how can we manage all this? This guy is so big, that guy is so big. Don't. It's not them. It's you, your word to the Lord. Say, take your first step, God says. And then the 99 steps I'm going to take, I'll lift you up. That daring is what God wants. Confidence. No, it's not confidence. It's that conqueror. You have to be a conqueror. There are two ways. You know, you either say, look, chalo. Now see, when some abuse is being done to somebody, somebody is being attacked, right? What is the safe mode now at the moment is, chalo, yaar, it's not my job, I'll just either walk there or... Nobody now goes anymore to stop anything. Because why? My life is in danger. But God wants you to go there and get killed. Because then it is going to serve a lot of purposes. Because first of all, you'll be in heaven immediately. Right? We want a little more time in earth, no? But we may not get another chance again. So we want a little bit more to come to be on the earth. What for? I don't know. Yeah, but this, that's why we are hesitant to go. But we don't know that when you go there, God's power is there with you. Things will turn. We have lost an opportunity for God to show a power because we have been coward, and we have ran away from that scene. Yeah, and such scenarios can come not only physically, physical, but it can come in anything. A person is confused. A person is probably demonized. And we are saying, no, that demon might come on me. And we run away from there. Yeah? So if you think that a demon is going to come on you, if you have sinned, yes, you should not go near a demon. But if you are prepared, if you are holy, if you know that Jesus is there, you should be going in front and be this thing to save that child who is demonized. Yeah?
Yes.
So that is what Jesus did, no? Then he said, I will give you the manna. Now what is the manna? The manna was food from heaven, which the Israelites had, right? There is a legend saying that when there was a war, Jeremiah was there. And he had a manna with him. And he hid that manna into a cliff so that it may not be attacked by the enemy. And they still believe that when Jesus comes, he will go to that cliff and release that manna.
Oh.
There is a legend of that. He will go up to that cliff on the last day and he will release that bread of God. It means so sanctifying it is. And now we know who is the manna, who is the bread of life for us.
Jesus.
It is Jesus. So if we are conquerors, we get Jesus as the bread of life. Without nothing can compare to the manna from heaven now, because we have got Jesus and we receive Him. But we receive Him faithfully. When we receive Him in, you know, sir. You know another thing also, that when you receive Jesus, the devil can enter into you.
Yeah, if you receive Jesus in sin.
Yes.
It's condemning your
God. And when did it happen? When did it first happen?
They said Judas received Jesus.
He said, Then the devil enters. Yeah. The same thing is happening still today. If you receive Holy Communion in the state of sin, unconfessed sin, without repentance, the same thing happens today. So be very careful when we are just like, you know, because like for a tradition, we go and receive Holy Communion in the state of sin without confession. Now, you may have committed a sin, and you may not have found a priest to confess it immediately. There, God is, you can say, Lord, I'm really sorry that I've committed a sin, but I want to receive you, Lord. You know, and the very first moment I get to make a confession, I will make. And if you miss that opportunity of the first confession, then you have committed another sin. So be very careful when St. Paul says as well, learn to honor that bread and that bread and blood of Jesus, because that's His bread, and it has to be only taken with dignity and honor, not because of a fashion. Nowadays it becomes a fashion also, especially, you know, those who are not receiving, they're receiving on the hand, but they don't have the reverence of receiving it. You know, receiving the hand is okay, is allowed by the Catholic, but you know, should have that reverence. What is that in your hand? You know, but some people, if he's yes, and then they go, they don't know what's happening. And we don't even know that if this particle is left on his hand. You know, so it's very dangerous. And then he says, and I will give you a white stone. What is this white stone? And with only your name, with your name written on a new name, except the one who receives it. Oh, nobody will know that name except the one who receives it. In the olden days, you know, they had this habit, and the other religions also have it. They have the stone, you know, the tavis, they say.
Yeah.
They put it for their amulets, yeah. Right? It was very, very common during that time. And they used to put the names of the gods on that. And they used to believe that there is power in that. So now, Jesus telling them to John is that, you know, you believe that so much power in that. Okay, fine. Take for granted that. But now I will give you a white stone. Okay? And I will put your name onto it. Only you and I know whose name it is. And it is a promise not for everybody. Not for all Christians. It's a promise for the conquerors. It's a promise for the conquerors. I will give you manna from heaven. I will make you my own descendant. I will give you that stone. That is an indication that you are mine. And only I and you know. The world doesn't need to know. Yeah, only I and you know that my name is engraved on your white stone which I give you. And it is to make them clear, because they were very accustomed to these white stones. They used to have it here, they used to have it here, they used to have it everywhere. Amulets they were. Now even the Hindus, they have it. No? They wear it with all that stuff. But because of that, he says, now we don't require a white stone here. Tomorrow we'll not go and put, and say, this is Jesus' gave me. No, the white stone is that Jesus is now the Lord of our lives. What else do we require? When we have His name on our hearts and mind and things, that is the white stone for us today. And that will come to you automatically. And you and He, and that He only will know. Now, what is your relationship with God? I don't know. What is my relationship with God? You don't know. Only us personally know our relationship with God. And hence we cannot judge by outer world appearance what it is. Only the tree will tell you. By the fruits you will know how the tree is. So our relationship with God, and only God and I need to know. Like, why should I tell the world what I am with the Lord? Yeah, even if I'm a corrupt guy, my Lord knows me. And my Lord, if I surrender myself to the Lord, He will take care of my corruptness, and He'll take away my rags of this thing, and He'll give me a white, beautiful gown. Okay, so that is the power of the Lord. And this is we end the letter to the church in Pergamum. Okay, now it's not only the letter to the church in Pergamum. Now we go back and we reflect on what the Lord desired of these people at that time, and what the Lord desires of the people today. I would say the desires of the Lord does not diminish, but rather it increases with the times, right? There are so many things now which are happening that He wants us to be vigilant. He wants us not to fall into praise like that. He wants us to be very, very careful. And one of the main things today's world is technology.
Yes.
But to be very, very careful with the technology. Yeah, how much it progresses. A lot of progress is done. Without technology, we cannot do now. right? At the same time, how much it will just let our people down, especially our youth of today.
Suicide
also. Yeah, suicide. Now, so many things. Yes.
There is one more game which has come, where a boy died because, you know, within such and such distance you have to reach. So he was traveling various places in South India with his bike.
Yes.
He gets points.
Yeah.
And to reach that, he accident and he died.
Yes. It is all planned. It is all pre-planned. It is the psyching of your mind. Yeah, the devil psychs you so much, then and you are blinded. You are blinded. So you have to be very careful today's games and today's technology. Use it for your decision. Don't go beyond that. And day by day, a lot of new things are coming which are based on this. Be very careful. Okay, so you have a homework for the week now. The hospital visit, people, just hold on for 5 minutes after,
sure,
after this. In the name of the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit, amen. Sweet loving Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for explaining to us, Lord, your letters to the church in Pergamum. As you meditate on this letter of yours, Lord, Holy Spirit, delve deep into our hearts and minds and show us, Lord, what is related to us today as it was related to that letter years ago, Lord. Lord, only you know how close we are to the end times. Only you know, Lord God, that we are just at the brink of death. And only you know, Lord, where we stand today, whether we are on our way to heaven or to hell. Please, Lord, in your great love and mercy for each one of us, open our spiritual eyes, Lord, that we may see the reality of today's life, Lord. Open our spiritual ears, Lord, that we may be able to understand you better, Lord, to hear you better, Lord God. Open our spiritual hearts, Lord God, so that take away this heart that has become stony, Lord God, and replace it with a heart of love, understanding, Lord God, and a desire to be conquerors, Lord God, more than conquerors, Lord. There are weak people, O Lord, who cannot do anything on their own, Lord, and you are expecting us, O God, to do that work which that person cannot do, Lord God. We are the light of the world, Lord God. Help us to be that light, my God, by reaching out to people who are in darkness, Lord. Otherwise, only then our lives will have meaning, Lord God. Help us not to be afraid of martyrdom, Lord God, because martyrdom is the surest way of coming to you, Lord God. And only you know, Lord God, how long we have to live on this earth, Lord God. Nothing else, Lord. Lord, once again, as our team move to the hospital, Lord God, let them go with that same spirit, Lord God, the same power, Lord God, that you have given them, Lord God, to speak your word, Lord God, and they will be healed, Lord God.
Amen.
To touch them, Lord God, to change their hearts, their minds, and to know, Lord, that we are come with a living God, Lord God. With the living God, whoever they may be, Lord God, we belong to the living God, and we take the living God to people around,
yes,
Lord God.
Father.
And that living God makes people alive, Lord God.
Yes.
The dead,
yes,
becomes alive, Lord God.
Amen.
So whatever it is, Lord. And the rest of us, Lord God, who are going back, Lord, we are not going to meet next week because it's going to be a first Friday, Lord. But in just 2 weeks, Lord God, show us, Lord. Let us be, when we come and meet next after 2 weeks, let us be a different person.
Yes.
Let that power be in us, Lord God, so much, Lord God, that we will be able to understand. Yes, Lord, it is you who is working. Your word is working in our lives, Lord.
Yes.
Help us to be doers of the word, Lord God, so that we will be able to see the radical change that comes to being a doers of the word,
yes,
Lord. And Mother Mary, continue to be our strength, Mama. We know, Mama, that every Hail Mary destroys the enemy.
Yes.
And help us to trust in you, Mama, and be with us, intercede for us, and keep us under your mantle of blue by praying for us, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray.
Amen.
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 Amen. Jesus is Lord.
Now and forever.
Now and forever.
Jesus is Lord.
The God with a two-edged sword,
yes,
who pierces into everything, good and bad. We honor you, Lord, and we obey you, and we confess that we are yours as we children of God. Say,
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yeah. Thank you.
In the Father, Son, the Holy Spirit. Amen. Good afternoon, and have a beautiful week ahead.
Thank you.
The healing ministry.
Thank you.
Father,
after
but health
and
life and body. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like a prayer.
Yeah, yeah, it is. It is, because that can bring,
yeah,
every time you miss.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yes.
Like,
yeah.
Session,
yeah.
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 No, that's what I want to discuss.
Oh, okay.
Please, brothers.
Yes,
Next week, huh? Yeah.
We're waiting for both of them.
Or just give me some. I don't
remember. Dear brothers, you know, tomorrow we are supposed to start our core team long length of prayer, but we have to postpone it by one more week. You know, because Simran's dad is not keeping too well, okay? And they want us to pray for him. And he'll be leaving to India very soon. So probably tomorrow is the only day we'll be able to go and pray for them. Is it okay that we go? Same time, 5 o'clock, we'll go from here.
Sure.
Okay? And we'll come back and then we'll join the intercessions after that.
It's okay.
Okay? Is it okay? See, now, we'll have to club together, okay?
I'm okay, yeah.
Anything? Yeah. Got mass?
No. Mom's in our house, no? So I want to migrate at the time. I don't know whether he can do that. Yeah.
No, if it is not possible, no problem. Okay. We will.
Because last week also I cancelled him because.
No problem. Okay, no problem.
Only day he can come.
Sure. If you can